church, how the glory of the Lord came down. And the children would smile as they shouted down the aisle, on that old country church.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Then on Sunday I'd see all my friends dear to me.
Secret Broadcasting Bunker here located in just outside of Bethesda, Maryland today. Good to be with you today. And apparently Jesus did not take the wheel. Several people sent me an article. Where is it? Let me pull it up here. Country music superstar Carrie Underwood, has come out in support of, guess what? Gay marriage. And at least one conservative political group is saying good for her. Now, the news always tell you what they want you to think. They said a conservative political group is saying good for her. Just hang on a second. The article goes on and says Underwood, who's set to play at London's Royal Albert Hall this month, expressed her opinion to The Independent. The British paper, in turn, promptly wondered whether the country crossover darling risked the wrath of her genre's traditionally conservative fan base. Quote, as a married person myself, well, let me, that voice is too low for Carrie Underwood. As a married person myself, I don't know what it's like to be told I can't marry somebody I love and want to marry, Underwood told The Independent. I can't imagine how that must feel. I definitely think we should all have the right to love and love publicly and the people that we want to love. Raised a Baptist and known for hits including Jesus Take the Wheel, the singer told the paper she and husband Mike Fisher, who plays the NHL's Nashville Predators, now attended a non-denominational, gay-friendly Christian church. Stop right here. That doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right. A gay-friendly Christian church. That's like an oxymoron. That's like saying jumbo shrimp. They don't go together. There is no such thing. Let me just straighten your lingo out here. There is no such thing as a gay-friendly Christian church. There are gay-friendly churches, but not Christian ones. Let me just straighten that out for everybody. And how do I know this? King James Bible. Underwood's outlook is similar to that of singer and Broadway star Kristen Chenoweth, another devout heterosexual Christian. from the South who is sympathetic to gay issues. Good for her, said Jimmy LaSalvia. Here it is. Here is the conservative group now that is in support of this. Good for her, said Jimmy LaSalvia, co-founder and executive director of Go Proud. Go Proud, an organization that bills itself as, quote, the voice of gay conservatives and their straight allies. You know, Carrie Underwood isn't any different from anyone else in America, LaSalvia said Monday in an email to the Times. The more Americans think about how issues affect their gay friends and family, the more they come to realize that supporting same-sex civil marriage is the right thing to do. And more people are coming to that conclusion, and that includes conservative Christians. See, they're just messing with you. They're just trying to tell you. I mean, you read the news. And everybody's going to get news from somewhere. They're going to get it from NBC, CBS, BBC. They're going to get it from Fox, CNN. They're going to get it from the internet. And these articles are written with a slant, like this. Okay? They're written with a slant. And they use language like this. I would never write an article like this. They use language like this, like gay-friendly Christian church, and then Christian conservatives who are gay. They're planting images like that into our minds as a means of acceptance. You read it enough, and then you accept it. Then you read stuff like this, and I think you need to go wash your brain out with some King James water, is what I think you ought to do. Get that nasty stuff out of your head. The article goes on, fellow American Idol alum Clay Gakins, who in May finished second to Arsenio Hall in Celebrity Apprentice and came out as a gay man in September 2008, was supported as well. Of course he's supportive. We go to Carrie Underwood, the Twitter feed. Speak out bravely and honestly, Aiken said Sunday in a tweet that linked to the Independent interview. Words are going to change minds. I remember preaching at a camp, which, by the way, I will be leaving Sunday morning right after the service, and we are headed to just south of Green Forest, Arkansas. You cannot find it. I promise you, you won't be able to find it. It's hard to find on Google Earth. Talk about a top secret broadcasting compound. I need to move there. Just south of Green Forest, Arkansas, I'll be preaching a camp there all week. Half the church is going with me this week. We're all going to try to have a good time. And so there'll be no broadcast next week. But anyway, I was preaching a camp in Oklahoma, which is where Carrie Underwood is from. And I mentioned a song. I was just preaching on music and had a good meeting that week. But I was I had put some lyrics up of songs that had just come out and were current. And I was telling these young people, you listen to these songs. I know you're listening to them. Here's what they're saying. And there was a song by Carrie Underwood. I don't remember what it was about. Finding some guy at a bar and going home and sleeping with him. Didn't even know his name or something like that. And Carrie Underwood's big in Oklahoma. Man, she's an Oklahoma girl. And so there was some young ladies. I thought they were nice, but they were coming up to me and they were asking me, did I think that maybe someone at a record company forced her to sing that against her will? I mean, she's a Christian and she wouldn't do it. She says Jesus sing take the wheel. She's a Christian. And I said, you know what? She made a choice and she sang the song, and so now she is coming. And you know what? Let me open up my can. Okay, Romans chapter 3. By the way, did everybody, I was on Facebook today, and one of the things that there's a million things that I don't like about Facebook. There's a couple things that I do like about it, and that is, you know me, I like a good joke. I mean, I like a good, clean joke. And somebody had posted a picture on Facebook, and I augmented it. It's one of these old ads, one of these old newspaper ads or magazine ad for Spam. If you've never had Spam, buddy, you're missing out. It is spiced ham is what it is. It's canned ham is what it is. And I love fried Spam. Man, I love that stuff. But anyway, the ad goes, The wife is on the phone. She's in distress. They're coming for lunch. We're in a jam. The husband says, keep cool. Just open a can of Spam. Well, I looked at that for about 2 seconds, and I'm going, you know what? That just needs a little alteration there. So they're coming in for lunch. We're in a jam. Keep cool. Just open a can of King James. See, I like it better that way. And I have that posted on my Facebook page, and I have it posted on my personal blog, PastorMikeHoggard.com. You'll be able to find it there. Just and use it all you want to, okay? Copy it or to do whatever. But I'm going to open up my can here concerning the Carrie Underwood issue. Let me just, we're going to go to Romans chapter 1 here, and I want you to just follow along the logic of the Apostle Paul. And see, this is what gets me, is that you have all of these people now claiming Christianity. I am going to come out this Sunday with a follow-up Watchman video broadcast. I did the first part last week called Drunk, what the Bible says about drinking alcoholic beverages. This week is going to be the second part of that, and it's going to deal with spiritual drunkenness. And I'm going to show clips, and I'm going to show you some of them today if I ever shut up long enough. But anyway, these are people, when you see these clips, when you see articles like this, there are people who are going to these churches, and they're gay-friendly, they're endorsing sodomites this and everything, and you rub shoulders with them. Oh, you go to church. Oh, you go to church. Oh, they all, and everybody's now is a Christian. It's like being a Christian's hip. It's cool. And everybody's, but they're gay-friendly Christians or they're drunk Christians. And you rub shoulders with these people and you see them how they are normally and you don't think much of it. You ought to see them in their church. You ought to see them in their realm. Okay? You'll get a different perspective. But here the apostle, and I don't see how people just go to church and then ignore the Bible. I don't see how they do that. But anyway, here's the scriptures. Verse 24, Romans chapter 1, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And I want to stop right here. And I want you, you know, I even hate to bring this, you know, to even suggest thinking about this. But remember, sodomites, they perform certain things. And those things that they perform are, they're physically unclean. It's nasty, dirty stuff that they do. And you have to understand that God gave them up to uncleanness. And you just ponder that for a minute, because that's exactly what the sin of sodomy is. It is unclean. It's vile. It's disgusting. There's no way around it. That's what it is. And for you to justify that, or for you to condone that, or you say, well, that's just their thing, and I'm just, you know, let them be them and let be me. And, you know, Carrie Underwood's going, you know, I would, as a married person, I would just hate for someone to tell me I couldn't marry somebody. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Here it is right here. You know what that means? That means they changed the King James Bible. They changed the Bible and turned it into something that wasn't true, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And I'm going to tell everybody listening to me and everybody that's going to hear my voice that you guys who say, I think that's sick, two men together. I think that's disgusting. I think that's wrong and blah, 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 blah. And yet you've watched pornography with two women together. It's the same thing. Vile affections, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And so, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It's not even, and not only is it nasty, dirty, and unclean, it's inconvenient. And then we see in verse 29, the list of 23 things, the number for death. Even as they did not, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And then verse 32, here it is right here, Carrie, if you're listening. I say this to you in love, and I say this to you as someone who will plead with you, change the course that you're on. You call yourself a Christian. Follow the Bible then. I dare you. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Rule number one. Those who commit the things that are in this list, which, let's be honest, as I read this list, I could probably check off several that I've done. What does that make me? It makes me worthy of death, is what it does. It makes me worthy of it. And that's me. I'm worthy of death, but saved by the grace of all. Saved from what? Somebody asked me on Tuesday's broadcast, what is the meaning of salvation? Being saved from going to hell. That's what it means. So this list here, the people that do those things are worthy of death, but not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Carrie Underwood, you say, okay, you're married to a guy. That's great. Hope it works out for you. But you cannot look at things that are mentioned here in Romans 1, things that God expressly forbids and says, you're not supposed to do these things, you'll die, and say, oh, I just think it's so wonderful. I mean, let's just pick one from the list here. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Stop right here. Okay? The guy in Florida who's high on bath salts and attacks the other guy stark naked and is eating his face off. I don't remember anybody gathering around this event and going, oh, look, I'm just so happy for him. He's eating this guy's face. He's a murderer. But you know what? That's just what he wants to do. I'm just, you know, I just want to be happy for them. You don't do that. You don't look at things that God said, don't do, and then say, well, if, you know, it's okay with them if they do that. Murderers, whisperers, haters of God, disobedient. You don't condone that kind of stuff. You don't go along with it. And God's eyes now, and this, boy, we could just go on and on with this. This is all how you vote. When you vote for politicians or officials that condone, openly condone this stuff. I got a letter I'm going to read here in a minute. Openly condone this kind of stuff. When you vote for politicians like that who are worthy of death, that also makes you as guilty as they are. I mean, that's what it says. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so those that commit the sin of sodomy are worthy of the same condemnation as you are, who you never sodomized somebody, but you said, you know what, that's just them. It's okay with them. You're guilty. You're just as guilty as they are. And, I mean, we could take this into a lot of places that some people don't like. Here is a letter. You know what? I think I have a screen capture. No, I don't. Let me pull up the... A guy sent me an email. A lady, excuse me. And she may be watching today. She has come out of a church, Mark Driscoll. Anyway, she sent me a letter. I'm not naming her name because I don't have permission to name her name. She said, also wanted to write and send you this letter. I have a picture of it here. She took a picture of it. She said, I have a college friend who used to be a strong believer but has fallen into sodomy. He married his long-term boyfriend in April. In late May, Barack Hussein himself mailed my friend and his husband this letter of congratulations on their marriage. Let me read the letter. And this is an actual picture. It actually has not just the White House, Washington on there, April 2012, but it actually has, it's not the watermark. It's a like a seal that you put on there. Congratulations to you on this special occasion. Michelle and I hope it is blessed with love, laughter, and happiness. Your union marks the beginning of a lifelong partnership as you share in the joys of your life together. I wish you the very best as you embark on your journey together and hope that your bond grows stronger with each passing year. Signed, Barack Hussein Obama. And oh, by the way, it was written on recyclable paper. I see that on there. Okay. So here is Barack Hussein. And she writes in her email after she sends me this. And she says, I'm grieved to know that our nation's president not only endorses sodomite marriage, but sends letters of congratulations to each couple. I did not receive a letter of congratulations from the president when I married my husband in 1999. I didn't either. Okay? This goes back to April 2012. This was this not before Barack Obama came out publicly and said, I think I've changed my, I'm evolving on gay marriage. I think it's okay for them to marry. This letter, he thought it was okay all along. Don't you understand that? He thought it was okay all the way through. He thought it was fine. And I was listening to the radio coming back in fact, it was in Pensacola, I think. And listening to the radio, and there was some black ministers that were coming out and saying, hey, we put you in the White House because you're one of us, and you represent the fruition of the civil rights movement, Dr. King. We put you in the right house, in the White House, and now you're turning against us. And I tell you what, I'm not endorsing everything that everybody stands for, but I applaud these African-American ministers, these black ministers, who are standing up and saying, better change your tune, son. Better change your tune. Just the fact, and this looks like one of those stock letters. It looks like to me that probably everybody or a big bunch of people who are getting involved in these sodomite marriages are getting a special letter from the president saying, I'm so happy for you guys. Oh. What a world we live in. What else is going on today? Speaking of things you should not endorse, somebody sent me an email on this, and it took me quite a while for me to, I clicked on the link that they sent me, and we have an internet filter that filters out certain things. And it wouldn't let me go to these news articles because of the content of them. Which, by the way, I think that if you, any married couple or anybody, especially if you have children, I think you should get a filter of some kind on your internet. I think it's a good idea. Not everything out there is okay. But I finally found, I went to the Rock Church. Where is San Diego, I think it is. And they're just trying to help everybody. They're trying to help people. So they're having an event called the Great Porn Debate. And they're having at their church, at the Rock Church, October the 9th, Ron Jeremy, the star of over 2,000 adult films and ranked number one porn star of all time. He's going to go to church and he is going to debate this at the Rock Church. Now, the Rock Church is just, we're just trying to help everybody. We're just trying to help people with who have problems. So they invited a porn star to their church to have a debate. I see beyond, I get it. I get it. Okay? Because of the fact that this event now, before it's ever happened, this event has, there was, I don't know, probably a dozen different news sites that talked about this event happening. Do you know why? Now, let me just tell you where I come from on this. Number one, I'm against it. The Bible speaks against it. It's look, I've had guys who came to church who tried to say, you know, God just made the woman's body. It's just like a work of art. There's nothing wrong with looking at it. Oh, it's so, it's just, you know, I'm just appreciating what God made. Are you kidding me? Come on. And I had a guy tell me, he was a youth leader at a church when I was in college. It's okay to window shop as long as you buy at home. Good grief. Whosoever lusteth after a woman has committed adultery with her in his heart already. And so if I were to deal with this issue, let me tell you, number one, there would be no debate. You know what a debate is? One person's going to give their side, and the other person's going to give their side, and then they're going to let you draw your own conclusions here. Can I tell you, and you know what? Yeah, you're right. You do have a free will. You have choice. God clearly gives us choice. But I'm going to tell you something. The message of the church is not about, now you just think about it and choose whatever you want to. The message that's supposed to come out of the pulpits, what's supposed to come out of the churches is, this is wrong. Don't do it. There's no debating this. It's not up for everybody's discussion. There's not a vote that's going to be made on it. It's wrong. Don't look at it. Don't have it in your house. Don't carry it. Don't put it in your computer. Don't do these things. Don't have this stuff. It's destructive. It's sinful. You don't invite a porn star to your church. You don't do that. But see, this event is not about having a serious discussion on the issue so that we could come to a good conclusion and hopefully maybe help some people with this issue. This issue, this event was about getting in the paper and getting people to your church so they'll like you and put money in your plate. See, harlots are all about two things. Money is one of them. Okay? The other one, you guess what it is, and in this particular thing, they're connected together. Then we have an article from, I need to move along here. Let me read some very quickly. United Kingdom Medical Council plans to hold secret proceedings against Christian doctor for sharing his beliefs. You can check that out at lifesitenews.com. Here's another one a guy sent me this morning. Apparently, the Pentagon Department of Defense is removing military edition Bibles from its exchange stores. The Christian Post reports an atheist activist group is claiming victory on its ongoing effort to keep religious expression and the symbols out of the U.S. armed services after it has announced that Department of Defense removing military edition Bibles from its exchange store. I bet they'll sell Korans. I almost guarantee you. They'll be selling copies of the Quran in there. What else was I going to deal with? Oh, goody. Let me get to this here. Okay? Let me get to this. I have been putting together since I came back. In fact, let me get my Bible out here. Been putting together since I came back and just kind of thinking about it while I was gone. The second part to the video called Drunk. And when I had decided to do this, I had already decided to make it a two-part to deal, number one, just with the issue of alcohol in the church, or just alcohol in general, alcoholic beverages and so on, and then to do the spiritual side of it, and that's what I'm going to be dealing with this week. I wanted to record it this morning. I'd worked on it late last night, worked on it all day yesterday, worked on it late last night. And came in this morning, and it's one of those days. I mean, it is one of those days. I've had, up until right before the broadcast, I've had my jacket on. My heating pad is on behind me right now. And I just ached terribly this morning. I got the camera ready and turned the lights on, and I'm trying to pick out what tie I'm going to wear and all this and that. And I'm just going, I can't do it. I can't do it. So hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to come in here and finish that. And I'm going to use a lot of video clips in this one because I think I want to make an impactful statement with this particular video. As I said earlier, we rub shoulders with people that say they go to church, people that we would like to think that they're Christians. They just believe a little different. Okay. And I'll say this, okay? I don't claim ever to corner the market on who's a Christian and who's not. I don't want that reputation. I don't want to, and I know I come out strong on issues, and some people might think, well, he thinks he's the only way to heaven. Now, I don't think that. It's not my place to judge. But Jesus did say, by their fruits ye shall know them. And we rub shoulders with people. We work with people. We have people in our family. At one time, we used to go to church, and things were going on. And we look at it, and we go, man, there's just something not right about that. It's just not right. American Pentecostalism can trace its roots back. They say they can trace their roots all the way back to the book of Acts. That's wrong. They can't. Because the things that is in most, not all, there are some, I think, some halfway decent Pentecostal churches out there that have not fallen into this garbage. I don't agree with some of their doctrines, but they still use the King James Bible and who is this guy that runs Paul Creek Ministries? I won't say Joseph Smith. I can't think of his name, but I talked to him on the phone. And he refers to himself as a classic Pentecostal, and they follow the scripture. I disagree with some of their doctrine, but I think he's a good guy. But anyway, American Pentecostalism, by and large, traces its roots back to what's called the Azusa Street Revival. And I think that was in San Francisco. And if you study this out, you can look it up on Wikipedia. There was some Joseph Chambers. Thank you. There was some really bizarre happenings going on at Azusa Street, and it spilled out from there. And now it's all over the world. It was in Kenya when we went there. Some weird stuff going on over there. Okay. So anyway, by the way, I want to bring this up. I had not planned on doing this, but we're praying about something, and that's all it is right now. That's all it is that we're praying about something. It has been suggested that we try to actually have a radio station, not just an internet broadcast, but a radio station in and around Eastern Africa, like in Kenya, Uganda, and places like that, and just broadcast what we do on Bible Truth Radio. A lot of people don't have internet, but everybody out there has got an AM radio. And it has been suggested that we do that. And I would like for... I'm not announcing this as something that we're going to work toward. I'm not saying that. If God is in it, it's already done, believe it or not. And I'm not asking for, I'm not, I'm, all I'm asking you to do is to pray for us if, as we make a decision on this, whether to do it or not. And if God's in it, then the decision's already made. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. But anyway, a lot of bizarre stuff going on. And we rub shoulders with these people, and we would like to think in the back of our minds that they're Christians. But here's some of the stuff they do. Now, the first clip, I actually featured this in a video we did called the Holy Bible, A Sure Word of Prophecy. This was done at Life Christian Center Church, which is in Fenton, Missouri, which is just not too far from here. It is actually Joyce Meyer's home church. It's where she sprouted at, okay? And This is what's going on. It's actually funny. If you get the copy of the Holy Bible, A Sure Road of Prophecy, and you watch these events take place at that church, there's actually a celebrity that's in the crowd at this church. I don't have it here that I'm going to show you, but there's a celebrity in the crowd. It's really funny, and I want to see if you can spot her, okay? Do you remember the Beverly Hillbillies? You remember that show, okay? The lady that played Ellie Mae, I actually met her. My girls met her at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention several years ago. She is a self-professed Christian, but she is a charismatic Christian. She is at this event. You can see her. I mean, she still has the same hair as she did when she was in the Beverly Hillbillies. Okay? Just kind of throw that in there. Get that video out and watch it. You'll see her there. But anyway, here is just a couple of the video clips that I'm going to be presenting next week in the video series called The Drunk. Here's the first one. Here we go. Wait a minute, I didn't finish that, did I? Hang on a second. Let me show you the worst part of it. That was bad enough. Let me show you this one. Okay? Now, if you remember from the last Watchmen broadcast, I dealt, and I would get mean about it. And I've actually counseled people who drink in front of their children. And I just tell them, look, you're fixing to turn your child into a drunk, whether you realize it or not. And I dealt with on the Watchmen broadcast last week about people introducing their children to alcohol at a young age, and we wonder why America's messed up right now. But now they're doing the same thing in the church. They're introducing these children to the same devilish manifestations, drunken, slain in the spirit manifestations that the moms and dads are a part of. They're putting it on these children now. And I have other clips, and it just blows my mind what I'm seeing here. This is not right. Then I reported here a few weeks ago, Richard Roberts. He is the son and the heir to the kingdom of the Oral Roberts dynasty. He is the son of Oral Roberts. He himself is a charismatic. He is a word faith teacher, leader. I saw him on an old episode of Hee Haw here a while back. I mean, he just went out to be popular. He's had multiple wives. The first wife, I think, left him in the middle of the night, scared for her life, and she actually wrote a book about him. She said, this guy's a monster. But here is Richard Roberts, and just recently he gets arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. Gets arrested, pleads guilty, has to go on probation, and on and on and on and on. Okay, so here's what you find out. What you find out is that Richard Roberts then is an alcohol drinker, and not only just a sipper, but he's a drunkard. He is a drunkard, a physical, I drink so much that I can't operate my vehicle, drunkard. That's who he is. And then Harmon, while I was on vacation, gathered up some video clips for me, and I saw this one. I thought it was very, very interesting. This was actually, you'll see the logo was broadcast on TBN. And this goes back several, you can see that we're dealing with a younger Richard Roberts. But let me just tell you where I'm going with this. The Bible, in fact, I've got Malachi. Now, you know, I had it open. I had Malachi open here. Let me find the verse here real quick. I'm going to read it off my notes. Micah, 2:11. Micah 2:11. Write this down. Look at it. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. And to me, that just, it just jumps out. And let me tell you, God knows the condition of the church members. He knows their heart. He knows that they're as phony as a $3 bill. He knows that they're fake. He knows their life is full of sin. He knows that on the outside they want to look like they're saved and born again and spirit-filled. But on the inside, they're just as corrupt and wicked as a summer day is long. And that they hate the Bible. They hate it. And God says, well, guess what I'm going to do? Babylon is a golden cup in my hand, and I will use Babylon to pour out drunkenness everywhere, and I will pour out a judgment upon my people that says, a drunkard, and someone who says, let's be drunk now in the spirit, like Rodney Howard Brown, that's going to be your guy. Watch this clip.
And she said to me that Brother Strader wanted me to come and sit next to him at a meeting.
This guy here is spiritually drunk, and he has been rendered unable to move. And guess who's in the audience watching and laughing at this guy? It's just a preview of what I'm going to be dealing with next week. Rough stuff, people. This is the world we live in, and this is a direct result of people forsaking the Word of God. Let me go to some of your emails. Andrea wrote in, and let me deal with what she said. This is kind of at the early on at the beginning of the broadcast. Biblically, gluttony notwithstanding, she says, what's your take on vegan or raw food diets like the Hallelujah diet that are supposedly based on Genesis chapter 1, verse 29? They seem to make a quote-unquote God out of eating restrictions. Are very slim bodies God's ideal? David does seem to lament the opposite in Psalm 109, verse 24, which says, for I am poor, needy, and my heart is wounded within me, and I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. And I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. And Andrea, you make a very, very good point, and you predicate it by saying gluttony notwithstanding, and I agree with you. I think gluttony is a sin. But there are people out there, and I'm not trying to tread on anybody's personality or their way of life. If that works for you, that's fine. I, of course, am not a health food nut. I believe that you ought to try to eat healthy. I try to lose weight when I can. Unfortunately, when I travel, it is hard to eat restaurant food and lose weight. But when I can, I try to get some of this tonnage off of me. It is responsible for a lot of times how I feel. And so I'll say that. But I think I agree with you, Andrea, is that there are people out there who say that to be Christian means you have to eat certain things. That is unbiblical. It's not according to the scriptures. And you're right. Skinniness equals godliness. That also is not a biblical concept. Is it right to try to take care of your body? Yes. Some people need more help than others. Some people don't have your ability to just eat a few veggies every day. Some people don't have that. And for someone to make this, you know, to spread the idea that if you just eat raw veggies every day and you do this and you do that, then your body won't have any diseases. That's untrue, too, because you still got sin to deal with. And, Andrea, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's a good point. JD from NC writes, Pastor Mike, been watching lots of conspiracy videos on YouTube. Got to watch that, JD from NC. Was wondering if you've heard of Project Bluebeam. Yes, I have. I have not seen any evidence of Project Bluebeam, and people are going, and I remember saying that one time. I remember saying one time that I have not seen any evidence on Project Bluebeam, and then everybody came out of the woodwork, and they sent me, 100 different websites that talked about Project Bluebeam, and every one of them used the same source. There was some guy, I think, in Canada that wrote a book about it, and he mentioned a top secret NASA program called Bluebeam that only he knew about, and every piece of information on the entire internet about Bluebeam and all of their prognostications about Bluebeam all come from this one guy. So I don't believe it because there's no witness, there's no evidence, there's no proof. And JD, you're saying evidently the New World Order is actually planning to counterfeit the rapture. I don't know. I don't know that. And I'll tell you something. I choose not to get my eschatology from YouTube. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that people are looking at game cards. People are looking at, they're folding dollar bills and they're saying, look at this, look what it makes. Okay? And they're doing everything in the world but reading the Bible. If you want eschatology and you want to know what's going to happen, you know what the Illuminati is going to do, you want to know what is going to come around the rapture, read the scriptures, okay? But as far as Project Bluebeam, to me it doesn't exist because there's no evidence for it. So anyway, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings there. Jennifer, hi, Pastor. Often get the dreaded head covering question from my non-saved friends, and I never know how to answer. Are women supposed to be covering their heads in church, and am I in sin if I don't? Thank you. The scriptures, if you just go read that chapter again, it mentions two things. Number one, that it's a shame for a man to have his head covered and prophesy. And then it says, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Then in the same chapter, it talks about a woman having her head covered. And then it says in that chapter that the hair is given for her covering. So don't shave your head. You look ugly. Okay? That to me is what the scriptures are telling you. And that I had a guy come here from New Zealand that he came here on two different occasions traveling through America. And the first time he was trying to lay this thing out to me that God had called him to go to churches. And he's been asked to leave several times. God had called him to go to churches and straighten them all out on the head covering issue. And they're actually not a church and God's not on. And they're all going to hell because their women don't wear hats everywhere. And then he came again and I warned him. I was nice about it, but I said, you're going to come and sit in our service and don't bring it up. Don't think that you can come here and interrupt my service and jump on this issue. Boy, he wrote me a nasty email the next day. I mean, it was bad, bad. And I just believe what the scripture says, and Paul actually talks about that the woman's hair is her covering in there. Now, if you disagree with me, I respect your disagreement, but don't. It's not your place to look at any woman and say, "Up, oh, not wearing a head covering, you're going to hell." You're not saved by head coverings, by the way. Rachel, hope this is going through. I was watching the big Vatican shindig, satanic ritual this morning. I don't know what was going on. Did you catch it? I was looking for all of the symbols, and man, oh man, does my can of King James have that group pegged just like you said. I don't know what happened, Rachel, at the Vatican, so I guess I'm out of the loop, as it were. Elena, will Christians be here when the Antichrist is let out of the pit? I heard somewhere, I'm still looking, can't remember where I heard it, the Antichrist won't be let out of the pit until Jesus is not present on the earth. Study 2 Thessalonians 2. Okay, and study some other things as well. If we're here, I don't think we're going to be here long. But I kind of have this idea that I think that we are going to say, that's not Jesus. Okay, I may be wrong on that. But I kind of think that we're going to go, hey, everybody, that's not Jesus. Is anybody listening to me? That's not him. The gospel is going to be preached. And so anyway, but just study 2 Thessalonians 2. Rachel says, I found your radio station. Listen, as I went to sleep last night, it is so good to be with true believers. My heart overflows. Rachel, I appreciate that. Bible Truth Radio, take a listen. Christine says, I read in Nehemiah. Nehemiah about Sanballat the Horonite. Who are the Horonites? Can't seem to find much about them. The Horonites are the sons of Horon. That's all I know. So anyway, sorry I couldn't answer that better. Gary and Barb writes in, hi Mike, I think this is in the Bible somewhere. Love the opening music. Very WW2. I know you have said what it's from before, but I forgot. Oh, it's the theme from a movie called Backdraft. And I've only seen that movie once, but I used to watch this show on Food Network called Iron Chef from Japan. I love that show. I would never eat that food, but I like that. But they kind of used it, so I thought I would adapt it here. Brother Paul writes in and says, in the Bible, angels are represented by stars. On the American flag, every stain is represented by a star. Does this have any correlation to Ephesians 6:12, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places? And Brother Paul, I think it's possible. I can't say that definitely 100% for sure, but I think it could be. Okay? Anyway, Joanne writes in, how you doing, Joanne? There is a gay-friendly church. I noticed she left out the word Christian. Called Gentle Shepherd in Tallahassee, Florida. Their sign has a picture of Jesus leading his rainbow-colored sheep. They also, oh my goodness. She says they have drag bingo. Ugh. Anyway. Rachel writes in concerning what I was talking about. Wow, it makes one not to want to be called Christian. Listen, I wear the name Christian proudly. I wear it with honor, and I seek to make my life display the dignity that should come with being called a Christian. Being called a Christian is not a bad word. Neither is religion. People are saying, hey, it's not about religion. I'm not religious. I just believe Jesus. And they make that sound spiritual, like the word religion, some bad word. And it's not. It's in the Bible. James said, pure religion and undefiled is this. And he talked about what real, true religion was. And I don't back away from these terms just because somebody else drug them through the mud. Wear them with dignity. All right? Christy, look forward to seeing you next week at, oh, Christy's going to be at Bible camp. All right. My boys just love you, which is great. Love when you say that you're opening a can of King James. There you go. Let's see here. could you post a picture of the letter from Obama to the newly married couple? You know what? I'm going to try to remember that. Somebody help me remember that, all right? I tell you what I'll do is I will post it on my blog, PastorMikeHogger.com, and you can just swipe it from there. John, how you doing, John? I love you, buddy. Writes in, Ron Jeremy in church. That will be Satan's church. Amen to that. It better be a big church, otherwise, I don't know. Anyway, I can't read that one. Anyway, it's Satan's church, absolutely. Let's see here. Brian, Pastor Mike, every day it is more apparent that there are very few people really Christians, and it is sad because they have been witnessed to and they disregard the scriptures. The divisions Jesus talked about, family, friends, so-called Christians, is here. Brian, I absolutely agree with you. And then he writes in, are you sure Ellie Mae isn't Jan Crouch? You know, it's interesting. You've never seen them both in the same room together. Let's see here. Pam writes in, question, Mark of the Beast. What will happen to children if people take the mark willingly? What about children whose parents force them? But I don't know. I guess it would be a good idea, Pam, to make sure that you and your kids, your children, are headed to the same place. Let's see here. Isildo, Isildo. Greetings from the Caribbean, or is it Caribbean? We consider you as our pastor in our church. Thank you for being honest and straightforward in your preaching, telling it like it is. In our church service last night, Wednesday night, and a lot of people were touched by this, and I appreciate it. God led me to do this. We as a church prayed for all of the people that watch us that make our church their church. And I can tell you, as we talk, as the people in this church talk, we're all good friends here. And as we just sit and talk from time to time, we just kind of shake our heads and we just think, God, why are you using this church this way? And we know who we are, and we're just nothing. And yet God has decided to use us here, and we're just thankful for it. So we love every one of you. Would love for you to come to the homecoming. I was supposed to make some announcements here. Homecoming. First weekend in August. I think it's August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Next week I'm going to camp. Gary has accidentally made over 10,000 DVDs to take to the Prophecy Conference in Branson. And we kind of did the math. If we sell those for $10 a piece, we could bring in quite a chunk of... No! We're going to go give them away. He did. He made over 10,000 DVDs for us to take to Branson. And I'm getting excited about that. I'm getting excited about just throwing these everywhere to people and handing them out. And we would just... And it's not for our glory or anything else. It's just for the glory of God, the message that God has given us. So anyway, we'd like for you to come to our homecoming in August, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, get you a hotel room somewhere in the area. We'll try to feed you well, get some good teaching and preaching in you, and we'd just like to meet everybody. And if you cannot make it, we still are doing this. If you'd like to, send us a picture. Send us a picture of yourself, you and your spouse and your children. If you watch us online and you consider us your church, send us a picture. You can email it to us, send it to us however you want to. And we got a bulletin board that we post that on so that our people could see who it is that's part of our church. And I made a funny comment that every now and then I'll walk by there and draw little mustaches on people and devil horns and stuff. No, I don't really do that. But anyway, do that if you can, all right? Let's see here. Tom is asking me a Bible question. And Tom, I have about 3 minutes. Pastor Mike, I thank the Lord for your online ministry. Could you please tell me where the giants come from after the flood? I asked and answered, but here it is. Are you ready, Tom? Here we go. Drum roll, please. Genesis chapter 6. The Bible tells you where they came from. And let me read this to you. Genesis 6, there were giants in the earth in those days, which means in the days prior to the flood, antediluvian, means before the flood. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, and then it says, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men of war of old, which are men of renown. And so the Bible says that this event took place before the flood. Sons of God, daughters of men, they created the giants before the flood. Then after the flood, I don't know if it's the same group. I don't have an answer to that one. I don't know if God locked them up in the prison right at the time of the flood. I tend to think that he did. But apparently there was others after the flood, or the same event happened after the flood, and they came down, found some hot chicks, married them, made these babies, and then they were giants, and the same event happened before and after the flood. That's where they came from. I hope that answers your question. Here it is. Michelle, thank you for writing, Michelle. She says, King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 11:15, but if woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her for a covering. And now she says, my question is, since it is specifically mentions long hair, what about short hair? Michelle, I want you to kind of think of this way. Now, I have short hair. I have short hair. Okay, my wife just kind of gave me a trim the other day, right before camp, and I love it. It's in my nature to want to have short hair. Now, my wife has long hair. Now, it doesn't go all the way down her back or anything like that, but my wife's hair is, if I were to wear my wife's hair, you'd say, what are you trying to look like, a queer? What's wrong with you? And let me just say this. There is no definite length of long. Think of African. I'm not talking about American black women who put the stuff in their hair, but African women, they don't grow shoulder-length hair, okay? But you can discern them and their hairstyle from that of a man. And so I think that there's a natural discernment in us when we look at, if a woman has a hair like mine, we say, what is she, a butch? What is she, like, trying to be a guy lesbian or something? You know, well, that's what we say. And so anyway, I've got music going off in my ear. It didn't get quite to everybody. CJ says, look forward to seeing you at Bible Camp. See you there, CJ. Melody says, hi, Mike, is there a judgment seat and a Bema seat? I'm gonna ask you to do something for me, Melody. Show me the word Bema seat in the King James Bible, okay? And Cheryl says, you like jokes. She says, I have a joke. What kind of horse is on the back of the Kentucky State-issued commemorative quarter? I don't know. Anyway, I guess I'll have to go find out. See you later. Love you. Bye.